This is the Bad Batch podcast on TV Podcast Industries. We're back with the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger.
I hear you've been asking questions about M-Count. Very reckless to inquire about such things. It attracts the wrong kind of attention.
And why is that?
That's the real question, isn't it?
Welcome back, fellow Batchers, to the Bad Batch podcast on TV Podcast Industries. We're on to Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger. I'm one of your hosts, Derek.
Of Doom.
The Harbinger of Doom. Yeah. Oh, very good, sir. Very good.
And hello there, fellow Batchers. I am one of your other hosts, John.
Welcome back, John.
Yeah, I feel like a baker saying fellow Batchers.
It's
like
good.
Batchers of loaves.
Well, I guess since we're coming up to Easter, that is a time for baking, isn't it? Lots of batches of baking.
Guess.
I'm intending to bake this weekend anyway. Are you not?
No.
We live
I was
in the same
intending
house,
on eating a lot of chocolate.
Okay. Well, that too. Yeah, yeah. But there'll be Easter cakes and we have hot cross buns coming, I'm sure. I'm not baking them. No.
Anyway, enough of the culinary delights, fellow batches. And it means Bad Batches, of course.
It does, of course. And you're very welcome back with us for a special episode with a very special appearance of very awesome character.
Really cool. I want my hair like that.
It is pretty cool.
If I could actually grow it like that.
I don't think you can.
No.
I think you might have gone past that stage in your life.
Stop.
Sorry.
Well, maybe. I don't think so. Not the back, anyway.
I don't think you could do it. But it is a very cool look. We'll talk all about it when we get into our spoiler-filled discussion of this episode. But do make sure that you've subscribed to the podcast. You can subscribe over on our website, TV Podcast Industries, where we have our Star Wars podcast, which has all the Bad Batch episodes and our Ahsoka coverage over there. Or you can subscribe to the main feed, TV Podcast Industries, where you'll get access to all the shows we're covering. Right now, we're covering Invincible Season 2, almost at the end of that. We're on the penultimate episode of that season as well. And we're also covering Shogun on the 7th episode of Shogun next week. So lots and lots of very different shows on our main feed, but we'd love to have you subscribe to our main feed as well.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, fellow Batchers, just a quick public service announcement to say if you are sending your lovely, lovely feedback, please send it in by email to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com, or you can join our Facebook group over at facebook.com/groups/TV Podcast Industries, where we have spoiler posts for each and every episode of Season 3 of The Bad Batch.
Yes, we do.
But I think without further ado, let us get into our spoiler-filled discussion of The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger. Derek, what are some of the episode details?
Well, of course, executive producers for the show are Brad Rao and Jennifer Corbett. This episode was written by Jennifer Corbett, the executive producer and creator of the show. Obviously wanted to have the ability to bring back Asajj Ventress into the show, right?
Well, absolutely.
That's what I think. give me that one. I'm writing that episode. This episode was directed, of course, by Stuart Lee. This is the 16th episode of The Bad Batch that Stuart Lee has directed.
Cool.
So, I know it tends to circle around between three or four different people, but Stuart has done so many episodes of the show. And, of course, story editor for the series is Matt Michnovitz. John, do you want to tell us what they gave us with your synopsis for the episode?
Sure. While waiting on Pabu, the Bad Batch encounters Fennec Shand's contact, Asajj Ventress, who informs them that the N-Count signifies a person's innate connection to the Force. Omega has Ventress test her using the Jedi ways, but once they discover Ventress's identity, the Bad Batch's distrust of her turns to hostility. Convinced that Ventress is sincere, Omega continues the tests under her, but during their final trial at sea, they inadvertently summon and are attacked by a sea monster. Ventress rescues Omega and pacifies the creature, thereby gaining ground with the rest of the Bad Batch. Before leaving, Ventress claims that Omega's M-count is low, but after indirectly admitting to the Bad Batch that she was lying, she warns them that they will not be safe on Pabu while the Empire keeps hunting Omega.
It's a very necessary role that Asajj Ventress plays here, kind of connecting the dots for the Batch, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And also just you know, a good connection back to last week's episode. Mm-hmm. I'm really pleased that Fennec Shand came through at least with that.
Yeah.
Who knows what else she's doing, and that's part of the issue with bounty hunters, mm-hmm. is, okay, they might follow through with what they've agreed, because in general, the handshake is their bond, mm-hmm. and usually it's around payment, so they do want and they recognize the, I guess, the sincerity or the formal side of that handshake.
Yeah.
However, that doesn't mean to say they can't double-cross you and be doing loads of things to possibly get more money and more wealth. So it'll be interesting to see whether Fennec Shand has just left it at that.
Mm.
But yeah. It's really good to have this character of Asajj Ventress back, because she just has that knowledge. I mean, there were some great dialogue scenes from her in this, which I think were just really so frank and necessary for her to tell Hunter, Crosshair, and Wrecker. Because I thought it was really interesting, you know, they were kind of saying to Omega that she was being naive for trusting Asajj Ventress, yet, in a sense, they are naive about the scale, intensity, tenacity of the emerging empire.
Absolutely.
And what resources it will spend in order to get what it wants.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's really, really interesting. Yeah. So I love this.
Yeah, a couple of very stark warnings from Asajj. Even just right up front when she arrives, one of the first things she says is she has her ways to find them. And you're kind of going, well, if she has those ways, other people have those ways, right? So that sets a whole nervousness on the top of everything about their position on Pabu.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think just Asajj Ventress just being there. So, I mean, it was really interesting, you know, that opening look of Pabu for this episode.
Oh, it's fab.
Muted colours, looking great. It really does feel as though the egg timer has been turned on this idyllic island in the middle of the sea, which has always been such vibrant colours. You know, we've joked, it looks like something on the Amalfi Coast in Italy, you know, the deep blue of the sea, all the different colours, all light and airy, you know, that feels safe and so on. Here, it's suddenly really muted. The sea looks grey, the sky looks grey. It really set that tone that Pabu might have a big triangular object hovering over it at some point soon.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
So I really like that. I just thought the tonality of the palette in this episode really underscored what Asajj was saying throughout this this episode. So
absolutely.
Really good.
But, and does add a little bit of scariness as well, a little bit of extra scariness to what's going on, especially when you consider next week is a double episode of The Bad Batch,
exactly,
which usually have very big things happening in them. So let's get into this episode, though, before we go into next week's double episode.
Yes, let's kick off with blaster point number one. It is the meeting of Asajj Ventress, and of course, examination test number one.
Yes. Let's go and kind of take it from the beginning and just how it all sets up. So Batcher is effectively out playing with Omega. The two of them are walking the beach, and he gets a scent and gets a little bit nervous and goes to investigate a cavern that they've been in many times, as Omega says. And when Omega goes inside, Batcher steps back, realizing there's something dark in here, something that he's unsure of. I think this is kind of cool. Batcher's a really new character to the show this season. Obviously, we only saw him at the start of this season, and he's been a member of the team since then. And now you can really see him being used as that kind of Timmy the dog, the last member of the batch that they need to have, because he does a bit of Lassie in there as well. He does. He brings the batch back to Omega after he runs away, and she goes to investigate. So he kind of warns them that something's going on and brings all the rest of the Bad Batch back with him. So I thought that was quite cute. But inside, there's an unknown ship, and Asajj Ventress reveals herself, that she's in there waiting for Omega.
Yeah, I mean, I just loved having Asajj Ventress arrive. So cool. You know, despite the change in appearance, still very cool. I love the authority that she brings. I mean, she just looked cool as anything.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. So did a ship. I loved the ship. Certainly when it took off at the end and you saw it in its full glory, mm-hmm. kind of like that sort of unbalanced look to it, mm-hmm. you know, the kind of skew on the ship,
yep.
not being symmetrical. So I really loved all of this because I think that represents the Star Wars Ventress, really. Mm. But I mean, straight off the back, you know, it's, she's not holding any punches. You know, she says it's reckless to inquire about M count. Mm-hmm. It draws the wrong type of attention. You know, we heard last week that the Empire has put out a full page double spread in the local rag.
In the Bounty Hunter. Yeah, more quarterly.
Exactly. To say, you know, they're looking for people with a high M count.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of, you know, loose lips sink ships,
well, yeah.
or in this case, loose lips mean the Empire is effectively going to hunt you down. And she warns, you know, if you do have that high M count and the Empire get to know about mm-hmm. it or suspect it even, then they are going to hunt you down.
Yeah.
With these open contracts, effectively, for yeah. bounty hunters that they've offered. I mean, it's kind of like shooting season, you mm-hmm. know? So all these people with high M counts, so it's kind of like ducks in an estuary,
well,
and all these double barrels are being sort of pointed at them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I love this. It, you know, it set that tense, as you say, kind of tone to mm-hmm. the whole of this episode.
Yeah.
And effectively, immediately felt like it pulled that safety net from beneath this world that they have, you know, been lucky enough to call home.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I thought it was really good,
yeah.
this meeting of Asajj.
And I also think it's great that it is Asajj Ventress. Like, you know, we've mentioned before, we're big fans of the Clone Wars animated series, that this is the next three seasons after Asajj Ventress was the villain for most of that show.
Oh, yeah.
Until she got betrayed by Count Dooku and then went off and became a bounty hunter. But we haven't seen her in a very long time. There is one canon novel out there about her adventures that would have taken place in the next season of the Clone Wars. I haven't read it, but I suppose what makes it great that it's her is there's not very many bounty hunters out there, I presume, that would have knowledge of the Force in the way that she does.
Yeah.
She trained as a Jedi. She was a Sith apprentice, so she has lots of knowledge of the Force. So she knows exactly what the M count meaning is. And tells the Bad Batch about it. She tells them, and I think, if I'm right, we hear possibly the first mention of midichlorians,
yeah.
the full word, since Phantom Menace.
Yeah, exactly.
I just can't remember. Did they mention it at all in the Clone Wars series?
They may have. I just don't remember.
They may have. It just seems like it came out of... they've been trying to hide it almost with this term, M count, and she comes out and straight directly says... Everybody has a midichlorian count. Everybody. It's there, present in everybody. But people with high M counts are potentially able to wield the Force.
Yeah, they're more capable of wielding the Force, she says. And you know, immediately, Omega is saying, oh, like the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And I love the reaction of the Bad Batch to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was really, really good. It was kind of unusual because, you know, in some ways, maybe they were... loyal, you know, it's mm-hmm. still like to the Jedi, or but they weren't really involved like the other clone troopers because they were this specialist unit on their own. They didn't have a Jedi oversight of
yes.
them. Again, because they were defective clones or unusual clones, as we get that nod from Asajj Ventress,
mm-hmm.
you know, they didn't have that switch on in their brains
yeah.
to attack their effectively commanding officers
mm-hmm.
in the Jedi. So, but I just thought it was a really nice little sort of switch of the camera to show their reaction to
yeah.
this.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because we've talked about Chris, unfortunately, couldn't be here for this episode, but I know this is one of the big things that he always thought about Omega, that she would be, she would have a high M count, she would be a force wielding clone. I like the gray area that Asajj Ventress plays in around whether or not Omega is Jedi or is Force sensitive or has got a high M count. Because really, by the end of the episode, if you listen to all the words she says, she never confirms or denies it. She never once uses that piece of equipment that Qui-Gon Jinn used on Anakin to test and see what his M count was.
Yeah.
She never did that. She did a couple of Jedi training pieces with her, which we'll talk about throughout the episode here, but she never once tests her, and by the end she's lied to the batch about whether she has a high M count or not.
Yeah.
It's all very grey by the end of it as to whether Omega is or isn't a potential Jedi. She even says,
yeah,
I suppose there were millions of clones made, so potentially, maybe, it's possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's certainly possible. I think what I liked about the sort of the kickoff of these tests as well was, you know, effectively, Asajj Ventress is about to leave, and actually we have Omega asking her, in a sense, almost pleading with Ventress to determine her end count. Because, you know, she says, I want to know what or, you know, who she is. I mean, she knows she's a clone, but she's wondering, well, do I have these extra special characteristics that the Kaminoans had sort of genetically built in? And so I like that, you know, in a sense, that's where, and it kind of develops through this episode, this small bond, this kind of temporary, transient bond that occurs between Omega and Asajj Ventress.
Absolutely.
And I really liked it.
Yeah.
And even just, I loved the first test where really you can see the frustration on Asajj Ventress, you know, and even from Omega, she's there standing on one leg with a piece of fruit on her head. I love that Omega is effectively questioning, you know, well, you don't even know what all this means that you're saying. You know, what does it mean? You know, let go of your unconscious mind. I don't understand it. And then she's overthinking, so she's not concentrating.
Yeah.
She's falling. She's slipping off the rock that she's standing on one leg. And I just kind of loved, I loved how Asajj Ventress is kind of, you know, oh, just get me out of here, the frustration. And I like the little musical trick that they did here as well, where it suddenly goes very fluty.
Okay.
As though we're about to see her sort of balanced and the fruit raise up off her head.
Yes.
Because she's got the Force. You think she's about to go Jedi, you know, like supernova Jedi.
Yeah.
But then she falls.
She falls over. Yeah.
Because she just can't concentrate. There's too many questions swirling in her head. And again,
absolutely,
that's the reason. So it's not that she doesn't have possibly these abilities.
Yes.
But at each of these steps, you know, even, and I guess we'll come to it with test two. But so, like, I really liked all this interaction between Asajj Ventress and Omega.
Absolutely. I was definitely having flashbacks to Yoda and Luke Skywalker in The Empire Strikes Back, because he's constantly questioning why he should be doing these tests with with Yoda, until he learns who he really is. But I must say, and I will give a little bit of a ding to the show here for myself, there was also a mix there of Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, from A New Hope, that whiny attitude.
Oh, definitely.
And Omega seems to be embodying both of those versions of Luke Skywalker in this episode. She's just whining, moaning, asking questions constantly, being told, look, just stop talking, open your mind, clear your mind of thoughts, and focus. You know, this whole test itself is all about balance and focus.
Yeah.
And she fails it.
Yeah.
Because she just cannot close her brain off from thinking about all the things that are going on. And I also love, though, I know you say that we see Asajj groaning and moaning about having to be there for the test, but I love how she handles it, knows that Omega's going to fall over multiple times and keeps grabbing the fruit before it falls and gets lost.
Absolutely.
I think it's a really nice touch. She's like, I know I'm probably going to have to be here 100 times while this kid falls over and over again until she gets it. I think Asajj has kind of accepted that, but she is moaning. So a great line after the episode came out where they were referencing that line of Asajj saying, you know, well, a person with a high M count can tap into the Force and can be able to wield it. And Omega's face lighting up like every kid when they heard about the Force for the first time and going, oh, maybe I could be a Jedi. And then Asajj's response is just like every parent who had to deal with a child who saw Star Wars for the first time going, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It is that tough love from Asajj Ventress. And I like the fact that, she is saying here, you know, it's different from being trained as a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this mm-hmm. is completely different.
Because
yeah. Omega has been brought up with soldiers and she has gotten loads of skills.
Absolutely.
From the Bad Batch. But
as I say, that's why it's my only ding for the show, because at this stage, Omega has had to go through so many different tests and so many different learning experiences. And here I just felt she was just a little bit too whiny when it's for an outcome that she wants. She wants to know whether she could be potentially a Jedi, and she seems to be moaning all the way through. And I was going, look, just stop it, kid. But it was still funny. There were still some funny moments in it, especially beforehand when she's trying to pretend like the person that needs the information about the M count isn't her and falters very quickly. She loses that.
Yeah.
A friend of mine wants to know. She loses that within about 2 seconds. I could be a Jedi. But that's kind of it at the opening when we meet at Saj and we talk about the first test. Let's go on to our test number two and our blaster point number two.
Yes, blaster point number two, the White Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that actually this may not be a proper Jedi test because it seemed as though Asajj just wanted to get Omega out of the room, so 100%. To speak.
Yep.
And so she basically cobbles together something that will take a long time. Mm-hmm. So she has a moment with herself and with Crosshair, Wrecker, and Hunter, because you know, just before this, Crosshair has confirmed that this is Asajj Ventress mm-hmm. from Tech's files. So I like the fact that this, in a sense, was a bit of a red herring test for Omega to sort of run up to the top of the island of Pabu.
Mm-hmm.
To the Maya tree and retrieve a white blossom before sunset.
Yeah.
But it is the one that, if this isn't a true Jedi test, it is the one that Omega succeeds on.
Yeah.
The first test, she fails.
Exactly.
And also fails on the third test. So yeah. I like that setup in a sense, or that kind of notion that runs through these tests, mm-hmm. that this may have been a false one.
Yes.
You know, this premise, as still of whether, you know, is she, isn't she, a potential Jedi wielder?
Yeah.
You know, so
I don't really know what it could be proving, in her M count that she's able to run quite fast and, get Patcher to give her a hand getting up the side of a cliff.
Yeah,
I don't think she really uses anything other than willingness, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, with this confirmation by Crosshair of her identity, mm-hmm. it's, you know, Hunter really just wants Ventress to leave now whilst Omega is away from the cave. Yeah, and there's that suspicion, you know, with Hunter saying, what do you really want with Omega?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I love the standoff with the Bad Batch. They've dealt with a lot over their time, and Ventress kind of going, well, maybe I'll just stay here a bit longer, when they're telling her to leave, and Wrecker going to her, no, we'll make you leave, and then Crosshair coming in to back up his brothers going, we've dealt with far worse than you, and Ventress looking at all three of them, these very capable warriors of the clone forces, and going, I've dealt with a lot worse than you. Remember, she went through the whole of the Clone Wars. She's dealt with a lot of clones in the past, but it kicks into this incredible battle between the three of them. This is the most fluid. Yeah. It's the most fluid looking battle I think we've seen.
Well, it's a great fight sequence. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, with fists and effectively martial arts.
Well, she throws their guns immediately take them ahead. Yeah.
But that's it. It's a two-step fight. And mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think it really fluid fight sequence in the animation here. And I loved it. And I love that there is that breath as Crosshair has retrieved the guns, chucked them to his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this standoff with guns. And she's like, you know, I don't want to kill you
mm-hmm.
or harm you. And she says, stand down. And I love that Hunter effectively comes back with the line, we're not good at following orders.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Crosshair sort of effectively falling in with that line, you know. So absolutely. I really like that moment. I mean, and I don't think it's inconsistent. You know, Crosshair has realized that following orders, we're good soldiers, we follow orders,
yeah,
was the wrong thing for him, mm-hmm. as well as his brothers yeah. in the rest of the Bad Batch. Yeah. They were, he, you know, Hunter, ultimately that first line in episode one, mm-hmm. that kind of repeated line all the way through.
Yeah.
Is so good yeah. having it here. And then you go into this shootout mm-hmm. between them as Omega arrives as well. And yeah, importantly, the drawing of Asajj's yellow lightsaber.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love her lightsabers. Always loved them. Yeah. The curved hilt on them is just so cool. And now she's changed her color. She's changed from her signature red yeah. Sabers now to her yellow sabers. So really like that. That's just so cool. Really good to see it. Yeah. And she's just easily able to handle all three of the Bad Batch. You know, again, all really well trained, all the highest capabilities that we've seen. And Ventress is able to stop them all. And Omega arrives just as Ventress has pinned them all down. She has control of the situation completely.
Is held up in by the Force.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love this. And it actually is one of the lines in this that I just thought, for me, it was the best line from Asajj Ventress, where she says, you know, we were all pawns in the same war and mm-hmm. we both lost. I may have been many things, but I'm not your enemy.
Your enemy.
The Empire is, and it's more mm-hmm. dangerous than you can fathom. You know, she's saying, like you, after the Clone Wars, I have also changed.
Yes.
And I just thought it was a great sequence because it was this reflection of what she has gone through and the Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was a really great piece of writing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Really, really worked. And again, to follow it up with Omega coming back in and seeing what's happening, realizes that they were fighting against each other because the Batch were trying to protect her and they distrusted Asajj Ventress, and her bringing it all the way back and going, but Crosshair, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. People change just like you did.
Exactly.
And I had faith in you that you could change. I also have faith in
Ventress. Well, that's it. I love that Omega brings the peace here,
mm-hmm.
you know, pleads to give her another chance, which the Bad Batch listen to her ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and their faith is at least seemingly rewarded in this episode, mm-hmm. which I thought was really, really good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get on to our final test in our blaster point number three. The way I said that, I felt like we were doing a test. I don't mean that. final test yes. of Omega. Yeah.
We're off to sea and to see the sea creatures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's always, I've always liked that affinity of the Force with nature.
Mm.
There's something kind of, you know, happy-clappy about it, which I kind of quite like.
Well, yeah. Right back to Obi-Wan's first line of the Force penetrates everything and binds us all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I really like this, mm-hmm. this third test. To sort of try and reach out with the Force in order to attract, encourage the mm-hmm. sea creatures yeah. to the boat. And in particular, I just love the little moment where you have Crosshair through his sniper rifle, mm-hmm. Hunter and Wrecker through the binoculars, uh-huh. the Star Wars binoculars, and you have Ventress looking up and Wrecker sort of just getting startled.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How did she know we were watching?
Yeah. Yeah,
loved it. Absolutely loved it. And of course, you know, there's also the big connection with Ezra Bridger, one of our favorite Jedi from Rebels, who has a great affinity with creatures. That's his big Jedi power almost. As we said before, if it was a video game, he would be scaled up to max on communicating with creatures. So the possibility that Omega could be another Jedi like him is interesting when Asajj is bringing her out to the ocean to deal with the fish. But once again, as you mentioned earlier on, she fails this test. She stands up in exactly the position that Asajj tells her to, tries to clear her mind, tries to communicate with the fish that are in the ocean, and can't do it. And that's when she confronts Asajj, saying, well, how can I take anything you say seriously? You're not doing it yourself. She doesn't believe in the abilities of Asajj, and Asajj goes out and is able to get a whole school of fish to circle the boat. It's a beautiful shot. I really like it. Again, the animation in the episode is fantastic. Top quality for the series overall. But this moment where it's seeing these beautiful fish, it feels like something that you'd see in the Great Barrier Reef. You know, it's beautiful.
It's really good. And I mean, I like just before that as well, when Amiga is trying to reach out with the Force and she has this, you know, wobble sort of challenges Ventress, but Ventress also, you know, believes Amiga is holding back. Again, this topsy-turviness of is she, isn't she, which is kind of being sort of dangled there for all the viewers. Again, possibly another reason why there's a double episode next week. So I kind of really enjoyed this. I like the just... I think this is a good definition of stringing it out.
Yes.
You know, it's keeping it fuzzy for the audience. And I really enjoyed, I'd say, this interaction. But Ventress, of course, I was wondering, inadvertently has called a much larger sea creature to rise up from the depths. I was wondering, is this because of the kind of Sith type element from her still pervading? But ultimately, again, another reason why the Bad Batch listen to Omega is that they come in to rescue the two that have been thrown from the ship. There's some great underwater sequences with Omega sort of wrapped with one of the tentacles. And you have this kind of spinning Asajj Ventress through the water, kicking off one of the other tentacles in order to sort of slice through that tentacle to release Amiga. I thought it was a great little action sequence.
So cool.
Within the animation.
So cool. And I also loved Asajj Ventress's wet hair underneath the water. It looks excellent, because we're so used to seeing her with a bald head, as we saw throughout the Clone Wars, and now with this new haircut and seeing it underwater with it all splayed out, looked fantastic. And from then on, again, it looks different for the rest of the episode. You sometimes just forget how much work it must be
for them
to create so many different looks in one episode of the TV show. You know, it's so incredible how much work goes into it. They're firing on all cylinders in this episode, definitely. Then we see Asajj using her Force abilities to calm down the creature. And again, it looked fantastic as she put her hand to its forehead, and you see this purple light go across the top of this crustacean that's been attacking them, just as a calming influence. It felt like you could see it calm down as she touched it and as she melded with it almost.
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Very cool.
But after all that excitement, she effectively does depart from Pabu, but not without sort of being both cryptic around whether Amiga does have a high M count or not, and also with a warning. And I really like this, to be honest, because effectively she's saying in the warning, well, I could find you. You're not as well hidden as you might think.
Yes.
And if the Empire is after you, it's more than likely that, give it time, you know, they're going to find you as well. So leave this place and stay away from the Empire. I mean, effectively, she's saying you have to go nomadic, a bit like, I guess, most bounty hunters would be in terms of moving from job to job, place to place, always having to watch their backs. So she's coming at it from, I guess, in a sense, that similar experience of what she has had to do. So, but not only that warning, but it's also, you know, we've had Amiga say that she likes me and she likes you as well. And maybe, you know, I think there's part of me thinking that she's not being totally clear around the M count, because she does say to them, if Amiga has a high M count, she would need to be trained. And that would effectively mean you're no longer in her life because of, you know, it's like with Grogu having to make that choice. Is he going to train to be a Jedi and leave the Mandalorian? Can he leave those personal bonds behind? And that's another warning to them, effectively. And I kind of really like that, because, you know, they have become such a brotherhood as a group. It's such a great relationship, these four, along with Batcher. Shame Tech's not there, obviously, but, you know, it's so good. And I like that she gives that warning as well.
It is definitely a warning and it harkens back to the title of the episode, The Harbinger. Yeah. The Harbinger of Doom, as we said. We are coming up to the end of The Bad Batch. The season will finish on episode 15, and that will be the end of The Bad Batch 3 seasons, right? The finale is the end of that story. So that is also a harbinger that maybe there won't be a choice of Omega leaving them behind. Maybe there will be nothing left for her to leave behind, which is the sad one that we don't want to think about yet.
No,
a few more weeks to go, thankfully. But we do also get one last comment from Asajj Ventress. You know, there's the Bad Batch are starting to fight back against the Empire now. They're trying to get allies together. And she says that she is on her own side. That is all that matters to her in the galaxy is her and how she gets on. If, you know, and I think that harkens back to her being allied with Count Dooku so much.
Yeah.
Her changing sides, going against everything she knew. She was a Jedi at first, going against all of that, and then being betrayed by Count Dooku. Now she is on her own side. So I hope we see more of Asajj Ventress in the future.
Yeah, I definitely. Really do. Definitely. Yeah.
And speaking of which, I do want to call out one quick note, if that's okay, about this appearance of Asajj Ventress. Just Brad Rao, the supervising director for the show, was speaking to StarWars.com about the episode and said, we don't want to spoil anything at all, but want fans to know that any new storytelling with Asajj Ventress will align with the events of the spin-off novel Star Wars Dark Disciple. So anything that did happen in that book with Asajj Ventress will have taken place or will be coming in the future, I suppose. So nothing that happens in this episode contradicts what's in that novel. So I thought that was quite interesting, important to say. I don't want to spoil anything about the novel. I did, of course, see websites with the headline of what happened to her in the novel. So not going to mention it, but they're very clear and very aware of what happened in that novel, and nothing that's here or in future appearances of Asajj Ventress will contradict what happens there. That's, I thought, a very important thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope that doesn't spoil anything for anybody.
No, I don't.
And I hope I haven't been too cryptic either.
Let's hope not.
John, anything else you want to say about the episode?
No notes from me.
Good stuff. Then overall, what do you think of Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger?
Yeah, I love this episode. I'd give it 4.5 Ventress Ventures out of 5. Massive fan of Asajj Ventress. Loved her in The Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. I should mention for conflict of interest reasons, I do have a massive Asajj Ventress statue.
Oh, she is stunning.
Yeah, in our living room. It's so, so good.
It's awesome.
So I'm a massive fan of Asajj Ventress. So any episodes where she's in, I just absolutely adore. I think a very, very cool force wielder.
Apart from Stormtroopers, John, is she the only big statue that you have from Star Wars?
Yes.
I think she is. So it's her and Doctor Strange are the only two big statues that you have. So that's, for our regular listeners, you'll know what that means. John's a massive Doctor Strange fan. So if he has a statue of that size of Asajj Ventress, definitely proof positive.
Asajj Ventress is cool. She's, and I love the title for this episode. I just loved how it permeated through the color in this episode. She's all about the warnings.
Yeah.
You know, she's actually imparting her experience as well as her knowledge of what's going on, because she's lived through the rise of the Empire and the Clone Wars, like the Bad Batch. And I think that's what's really good. It's a reflection of what they've both gone through, but it's also different. And she, having been at the side with Count Dooku, she knows much more how insidious the Empire is, and that's what she's bringing the warning to them
Darth
about.
Sidious it is. Yes.
Well, exactly. And I just really enjoyed it. I loved that effectively Omega's M count is still very intriguing. Is it high? Is it not? I mean, one of the things that, you know, I would postulate is when we see, okay, one of the things that I'm going to steal from Derek.
Okay, yep.
But I had the same thought as well. You know, separate thoughts can be the same 100%, thing.
100%, yeah, of course.
Was that...
Our listeners have no idea what we're talking about yet, no. So you tell them my theory then. Go down there.
On Tantis, you have all the Bloods, including Amigas.
Yep.
But it is dosing that with another Blood.
Yes.
And whether it's about it being able to carry rather than have a high M count. You know,
yes.
So to carry... So my current hypothesis is that the blood that's being dripped into each of those samples mm-hmm. is actually the blood with the high M count. And it's whether that blood can be carried and taken on by the host blood.
Yes, because the test that's happening is happening after the blood is being added. The hypothesis is that that's the Emperor's blood
yeah.
that's being added to them, and they're testing to see if it still has the same M count as yeah. the Emperor's blood after it's been added to some of this clone blood, and that may have been what's happening with Omega's blood. So
exactly.
while she doesn't have a high M count, or may not have a high M count here, maybe her blood could allow the Emperor's blood to survive, and maybe she could be a perfect clone for the Emperor in the future, because we know he gets cloned, right?
So I'm going to be a bit Scully here from okay. X-Files, in that, you know, I want to believe Chris's theory that he's held from episode one, season one, or maybe a bit later in season one, that she is Force-sensitive, but I currently am doing a Scully on it where... What other possibilities could explain what's happening, which I feel is that her particular clone blood, because it is a unique clone happening, has properties that can accommodate their foreign blood being sort of dosed into hers, i.e. the Emperor's blood. So that's the working hypothesis from myself
Absolutely.
As a scientist.
And I agree with you. But I don't want to agree with Chris's theory. Never liked Chris's theory that Omega is potentially Force-sensitive or could be a Jedi in the future, because the show hasn't been about the Jedi. We had the Clone Wars about the Jedi. The Bad Batch is about the Bad Batch and their clones. I love the idea that they could be just clones to the end, and that the big twist is that Omega could form part of a clone that could eventually lead to Rey, could eventually lead to the Emperor. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff, John. Oh, I'm dying for a drink.
Yes, me too. Let us head on over to the Cantina Bar. Well, there's also a Cantina Bar quiz.
Yes, there is.
Yes, excellent stuff. Fellow Batchers, fellow quizzers, welcome to the Bad Batch Cantina Quiz. We are on episode 9, so here is question 9 for your little ear holes. What faction in the Clone Wars was Asajj Ventress allied with, according to Tech's records?
Very good, very good. More of a Star Wars question here, not necessarily connected to the episode, but you have to have an Asajj Ventress question in the episode, and I think we wanted to talk about every single thing and every single moment in the episode, so we left that bit out.
But it is in the episode.
It is mentioned in the episode.
I'm not breaking with tradition here of how our pub quizzes or cantina quizzes go. It is stated in the episode.
Yeah, I just mean if you know Star Wars and you know Dooku and you know Ventress, you might know the answer without having to rewatch the
episode. You're giving even more clues away.
Am I? Okay, well, do you want to give the question one more time, John?
Yes, I will. What faction in the Clone Wars was Asajj Ventress allied with, according to Tech's records?
That's it. That's the 9th question in our Cantina Quiz for The Bad Batch Season 3. Get all the answers together. Email us at the end of the season to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com, and you could get your hands on 5 Funko Pops of The Bad Batch. They are sitting in our home right here, and they look cool as heck. So you'll want to get your hands on those.
Yes.
We do have a bit of feedback for the episode. Let's pop on over to Dr. Bob Phillips and Facebook.
Yes. Dr. Bob Phillips says, the gang meet a vampire bounty hunter with an excellent line in tweenaged behavior management and Kraken whispering, and are left with a sense that Pabu will be destroyed and they're less aware of what's happening in the galaxy than they thought they were. Add to this, Batcher doing an admirable Lassie impression and Wrecker proving he's the best cheerleader in the universe, and you've got a neat little episode that nuzzles the plot along after playing with its food in a good way. Absolutely, Dr. Bob, that it's one of the best descriptions of stringing it along for sure.
Yeah.
And
this is all important information delivered in a fine package with Asajj Ventress in the episode. We all wanted to see her, but she needed to get across some information for the team here, and it came across really well. Yeah.
And like you, I absolutely loved Wrecker's very encouraging shouts to Omega, especially in the first test. We know you can do it.
Come on, Omega. Yeah, exactly. You can do it. Really good. Absolutely. Really, really good.
And Kraken whispering sounds like you're about to drink a whole bottle of spiced Kraken rum.
You might be whispering after that. You'd probably be shouting after that, actually.
Well, I'd be fast asleep.
True, true. Yeah. Thanks so much, Dr. Bob, for your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dr. Bob.
We do want to hear loads more feedback in from you for this season of The Bad Batch with a big doubleheader next week. We'd love to hear what you think about the show so far, and especially those episodes next week. Email us to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com with your thoughts, or pop it over to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TVPodcastIndustries. Check out the spoiler post on there and leave your thoughts in there, and we'll chat about them on the next podcast. So there are two episodes next week. We'll be back with both of them after they come out. Episode 10 is called Identity Crisis, and episode 11 is called Point of No Return.
Ooh, interesting. And of course, fellow batchers, please remember to subscribe, review, or share the podcast. Because, of course, sharing the podcast is
sharing the love.
It is. Indeed it is. We are as well over on patreon.com/TV Podcast Industries or buymeacoffee.com/TVPI.
Yeah, and don't forget, we're also covering two other shows at the moment. Invincible, which gets its finale next week, and Shogun, which has three more episodes to go in an excellent, epic series. Go check those out as well on our main feed on TV Podcast Industries. Otherwise, happy Easter for those of you who celebrate. Happy couple of extra days off for those of you that don't.
4-day weekend.
I love it. Can't wait. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you so much, fellow batchers, for joining us. As always, I cannot wait to be chatting about the doubleheader next week.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, though, of course, keep watching, keep listening, and of course, keep being bad.
Bye.
Bye.